takes a lot of courage to present a scientific presentation. It takes orders of magnitude more courage to recite your own poetry, I think. Well done. We've heard a lot about art over the last few sessions. You might think that we've heard all there is to hear about art. I hope that that's not true, and that I have at least a couple of surprises for you. And they'll probably only be small things, you know, like A.W. Warwick. It took me a long time to find out what the W stood for, and when I finally found out that it wasn't just Will, that out west it's Wild Bill Art Warwick, I think that was the first indication that I had that this was not your usual soil physicist that we were dealing with. Art was born an Iowa farm boy, a self-proclaimed Iowa farm boy. He is one of the great generation, the greatest generation of soil physicists, those who, in a sense, grew up with maybe a more intimate understanding of the soil than some of us who grew up in the suburbs. He started out on a very straight and narrow path and continued on that path through college at Iowa State University in the late 50s, early 60s. He was pursuing a degree in mathematics. He by his own admission, narrowly avoided working in writing machine language for compilers for machine language and computers, much to our great credit. And things were going really well. They were on a straight trajectory until fourth year when Art surprised me by letting me know that the wheels came off, essentially. He discovered two things. He discovered Shan and he discovered Bridge, both at the student union. And he said that for the final year, he rarely attended classes and was a bit of a miscreant, it sounds like. Of course, during that time, he also was compiling tables of ratios of hyperbolic sines and hyperbolic cosines. So, and he was doing this work for Don Kirkham. So he wasn't exactly slacking at that time either. He graduated in 1962, the same year that he and Shan were married, and then went on to complete graduate school under the direction of Don Kirkham with this huge group of students. Art remembered at least 11 students that were in the program at the same time that he was. And he was doing, you know, the fundamental work on water flow in the unsaturated zone. And it's this fundamental work that of course, he carried out throughout his whole career. He then moved west. He headed west in 1967, brought his two youngest daughters, Amber and Abby, with him, and then his oldest daughters, and his youngest daughter, Amy, was born 2 years later. Joined the Faculty of Soils at the University of Arizona. And I don't know if any other folks from Soils are here today, but it's a much happier looking group these days than it was in those days, I think. This is not so much. Yeah, it seems like it when I walk over to the building over there. And Art, again, he stayed at the University of Arizona through his whole career, whole career so far, and has been a real mainstay, a real fixture, not only in that department but across campus. And it's interesting for somebody who is so soft-spoken or underspoken maybe to become so influential. And just as an indication of just how soft-spoken and sort of dry Art can be, I asked him before we came if he was looking forward to this meeting, and I fully expected him to say that he maybe wasn't. And the only thing that he told me was that, oh, hell, I'm just glad I'm still alive for it. So he has made it, and he's still kicking very strong, and I think we're all happy that we had a chance to celebrate you in person. So with this idea of sort of an academic career as a lifetime, I thought I'd revisit his publication in Record, which you've seen already, and sort of think of it as this kind of academic EKG. So how was the spirit of his career at different times? The vital stats are, as we've heard, just phenomenal. 178 publications, about 4.5 publications a year. And for me, what was even more impressive was that he published every single year so far for 40 years, which is an incredible consistency of publication as well. But then you start looking at something like this and some things jump out. You know, first question maybe that comes to mind is what happened in 2003? You know, why was Art slacking and only publishing one paper that year? So I thought I'd look at what that paper was. It turned out it's this paper with John Knight, and I thought, okay, there we go. For those of you who've had the great good fortune of working with John, you know it's always a rewarding experience. But as John said to me the other night, he said he can be known to drag the chains a bit. So I thought that maybe, you know, maybe this just took a long time. But then looking, you know, just a little bit deeper, of course, you realize that this was the year that he published his major textbook. So I think he was otherwise occupied with this publication. It's only fair then to also look and see what happened during the good times. We start back in 1974, and two things sort of jump out. First of all, as Art described, the tenure process was a very different one in 1970. There isn't this kind of run-up of large numbers of publications in preparation for tenure. He was actually highly productive in between assistant and full professor. And then maybe the cynics in the audience may think that there's this relaxation period after getting full professor. But if you look at this a slightly different way, this is now plotting sort of a moving window average of citations of publications published in different years. And you see that there's a remarkable constancy in the last half of his career, that he has this very consistent citability. But that this period immediately following getting full professor, he had this remarkable period of citability in his publications across the board. And if you pull out three of those, we've seen these three before. Those are, I don't know why the boxes are there, but those are the number of times that each of these papers has been cited. You probably can't see the titles from there, but there are a couple of commonalities among them. First of all, it's dealing with fundamentals of water flow and solute transport, essentially. Where he started, and then I think where he's come back to. And the other thing that's probably impossible to see is that Don Nielsen is on every one of those papers. It's probably not too late to track down Don. The other thing that you see in looking at these high productivity periods is that his highest period of productivity was the 3 years that he was acting department head of the Soils Department. So I'm just looking around to see if Jeff Silvertooth or John Wraith or any of our other department heads are here, and maybe you want to, Gary Kaczynowski, maybe you want to earmark some time with Art to figure out what his secret was during that period. And of course, numbers aren't everything. There are different ways to parse these. We heard about the lion in the cave. I mean, Art has certainly been a lion in the cave and a lion out of the cave. He has 19 sole author publications, so that's about one every other year. At the same time, he has about 70 first author publications, so that's about two every year. So that alone would be an astonishing career for an individual scientist, somebody who's really doing work solely for themselves. But if you look at this more again, about 60% of his publications, he's not the first author. And what really stood out to me were these three-author publications, where so often it's a graduate student, some junior member of faculty who's a second author, and Art as a third author. I think I can say from personal experience, it's not due to relative contributions of ideas. I think it's just the generosity of spirit that Art has. And then we look at who those authors are. There were 111 different authors. He's published in 27 different journals. WRR and SSSAJ, about the same number, at about 45 or 46 publications. Lohmann was the most frequent co-author with 24 publications together, and then it drops off somewhat from there. The longest lasting collaboration was with Miyamoto, which over a 25-year period they published together. Again, any one of these five as a significant portion of a publishing career working with Art alone. Now, of course, the numbers don't tell everything, and I think this is especially true with Art. And the thing that has been most gratifying to learn about Art is not so much the science as it is the personal relationships that he builds. He's obviously a very strong family man. You often hear him talking about his family. He's both a loyal and productive colleague, somebody that will continue to work with you even if you astound him with things that you can't understand the first time he explains them to you. He's a fabulous mentor to students and to young faculty. And a large part of that is his ability to never shy away from giving criticism, but finding a way to never give it in a critical way. So he's there's rarely a harsh word spoken, apparently, except at the bridge table. You know, there are other aspects of art that others of you know better than I do. He's a good golfer. He's a great bridge player. He's a snappy dresser. I think that all of these things are aspects of what make art art. But really, the I was talking to Danny Orr the other day, and I think that he really nailed it. He said that artwork is the guy I want to be when I grow up. And I think many of us feel that, and many of us are very happy to have that kind of role model. So if there are questions for a talk like that, I think they should probably be addressed to Art. Thanks.